Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Well, I am going to talk about Jikan, Leonard Cohen, this morning. Got a few songs lined up. I'm not very good with this technology, so the ones I'm going to play are just the ones that have a verse at the very beginning of the song that I can play, because I don't know how to cut to the middle. I hope you like this, the music of Leonard Cohen. If you don't, it might be a little bit of a long morning for you. You'll be like the flatmates of my dear friend Dieter Cole, who I grew up with in London, and I went back to visit him in college. And that was where I first heard, and I had never heard of Leonard Cohen. And he liked Leonard. We'd play him in the flat, and his flatmates would say, "Oh, not Leonard Cohen again." So effing depressing. Which, of course, he's well known for. But as a person, I found Leonard generous and funny and roughly optimistic. He and I lived together at the same Zen Center for a good few years in the mid-90s. So he was a fellow practitioner. And had practiced a lot before I got there. He really wasn't a celebrity guest there at the Zen Center. He was doing it. He was much older than I was, but he had his own little small one room cabin. But he was up every morning at 3 a.m, and he never slept in or asked for special treatment. He was a gracious host. I would sometimes manufacture a reason to knock on the door to deliver the mail to him or something, and he'd unfailingly invite me in and read me the latest that he'd been working on, because he was working on 10 new songs, which was an album that came out in the late 90s or early aughts. And sometimes he'd pour me a little something to help the lyrics go down. And so I heard a whole lot of discarded verses of A Thousand Kisses Deep. He used to write a lot of verses and then use only a fraction of them. And he was interested in not only his own story, but other people's too. He loved to hear what was going on. He was very generous as well, and always ordering too much food when we'd have a little party. And when he was ordained, he didn't want us to cook, because it's always that the monks cook the meal for the ordained. So he ordered chicken, fried chicken, and champagne, and a lot of it. He liked mixing high and low that way. He wanted paper plates, so we didn't have to clean up, I was the head monk at the time, and I was traditionalist. I could not see using paper plates, so we had a long, long talk about it. But I held my ground, and as always, he conceded defeat gracefully. I never heard him complain, though there really was plenty to complain about there. I think in his last interview with David Remnick from the New Yorker magazine, he said, on a superficial level, Zen practice does what boot camp does. for you, which is to get you to stop whining. He said, it makes whining the least appropriate response to suffering. And I think he's right about that. I appreciate that in his music, too. I think he works to elevate our struggles and our sufferings so that we see them in a different light and can relate to them differently. So not in the complaining way that we instinctively react to them, but in a more considered and graceful and ultimately, I think, hopeful way. He has a beautiful acceptance speech that's online for Spain's most prestigious literature award. The king's there. And he says, never lament casually in that speech. If one is to express the great inevitable defeat that awaits us all, it must be done within the strict confines of dignity and beauty. I really appreciate that line, and I appreciate that about his music too. He was also, you know, he became a friend of mine and occasional advisor and was a real supporter of this Zen Center for many years. So, I want to talk some about the Zen in his music. And, you know, when I listen to his music, I'm drawn to the pathos and the joy and humor in it, but I'm also can't help but notice the Zen in it. I think he was influenced by Zen, practice. And I think perhaps in a small way also his music will end up influencing Zen. I hope so. You know, like the old poets Ryokan and Ikkyu. He shows a kind of warm and human face of Zen practice that I hope will play through the generations. He opens up the emotional side, the frail side of Zen, and the loving side too. I want to start by playing just a little bit and then reading the rest of probably the song that most directly refers to Zen. It's called The Ballad of the Absent Mare. I'm going to read the whole thing, but it's based on these ox herding pictures, which I think I have somewhere here. At least I got a couple of examples. Have you seen these little ox herding pictures? Yeah, it's 10 ox herding pictures. It's about a little guy who loses his ox, and he can't find him, and then looks all over, and then he finds him, sees his rump there, and then goes on from there. And finally, he finds him and rides him. And then, there's a couple more that I don't have. One is an empty circle. And then finally, you have him, this kind of an old guy, going back to the market with bliss-bestowing hands. Oh, no, that's him, I guess, the young guy. Anyhow, it's a story about the ox represents our true nature, our Buddha nature, and it's a story about finding that. And searching for it, and then finding it, and then learning to ride with it. So he writes the Ballad of the Absent Mare here. And I'll just give you a sense of it's kind of a country ballad.
And the bridges break up in lost. And there's nothing to follow, there's nowhere to go. She's gone like the summer, gone like the snow. And the crickets are breaking his heart with their song as the day caves in. And the night is all wrong.
Did he dream? Was it she who went galloping past and bent down the fern, broke open the grass, and printed the mud with the iron and the gold that he nailed to her feet when he was the Lord? And although she goes grazing a minute away, he tracks her all night, he tracks her all day. Oh, blind to her presence, except to compare his injury here with her punishment there. Then at home on a branch in the highest tree, a songbird sings out so suddenly. Ah, the sun is warm and the soft winds ride on the willow trees by the riverside. Oh, the world is sweet, the world is wide, and she's there where the light and the darkness divide. And the streams and the steam's coming off her, she's huge and she's shy, and she steps on the moon when she paws at the sky. And she comes to his hand, but she's not really tame. She longs to be lost, he longs for the same. And she'll bolt and she'll plunge through the first open pass to roll and to feed in the sweet mountain grass. Or she'll make a break for the high plateau where there's nothing above, there's nothing below. And it's time for the burden, it's time for the whip. Will she walk through the flame? Can he shoot from the hip? So he binds himself to the galloping mare, and she binds herself to the rider there. And there is no space, but there's left and right. And there is no time, but there's day and night. And he leans on her neck, and he whispers low, "Whither thou goest, I will go." And they turn as one, and they head for the plain. Ah, no need for the whip, no need for the rein. Now the clasp of this union, who fastens it tight? Who snaps it asunder the very next night? Some say the rider, some say the mare, or that love's like the smoke beyond all repair. But my darling, says Leonard, just let it go by, that old silhouette on the great western sky. So I pick out a tune, and they move right along, and they're gone like the smoke, and they're gone like this song. I love that song. So in Zen, you know, we say we all have this mare, we all have this Buddha nature that is this quiet and clear state that's so often overlooked, you could say lost, and that our practice is to rediscover that lost nature. So it starts with a search, this song and our practice with a lost mare. And you know, the beginning of the song, the day caves in and the night is all wrong. And I can't help but reflect on the beginning to my Zen practice where it all seems so wrong. Sitting is difficult, and pain in my knees and back. And crickets are breaking his heart with their song. Leader remembers those crickets at Mount Baldy in the evening. They're just deafening. It's too hot, and that's all you can, all you have is that rhythm of loud rhythm of crickets. But then he catches a glimpse, and that glimpse is a key moment, I think, when we first start to settle, and when we first find this some little taste of no self. For me, it came on the last afternoon of my first 7-day retreat. And it really kept me going, kept me searching. And in the song, you know, Leonard says, "It's great. This mare is grazing just a minute away," which also speaks to this weird thing, which is that it's always close by, even though it seems far away. But it's shy, as Leonard said. It's shy. And then suddenly it appears, and there she is where the light and the darkness divide. And that's a theme that goes throughout Leonard's work and also through Zen, especially the Zen that we learned, that this place of zero, this place of deep silence, is a place of reconciliation of opposites, where opposites meet. And Leonard's interested in this place, this kind of place where this origin point where things come together, where God and human come together. And from that's one, and then we come from that back into our lives. He's got another song which I really like. I won't play any of it, but it's called "Show Me the Place," about that origin point. Show me the place. Help me roll away the stone. Show me the place. I can't move this thing alone. Show me the place where the world becomes a man. Show me the place where the suffering began. He does love a Christ image, even though he's Jewish. Then the cowboy binds himself to the mare and she to him, and you have this picture of the two of them together. And then at the end, Leonard asks, you know, who fastens this union, who snaps it asunder the very next night? How do we find it? How do we lose it? In Zen, there are these two worlds talked about in all of Mahayana Buddhism, really. The world of duality and the world of oneness. And, to practice is to be interested in those two worlds and how they interact and how they work together. In other traditions, it might be called heaven and earth, you know, God's world and human's world. But they weave themselves throughout Leonard's work. And I'll play another song about just how grace, in a way, comes and then goes again. It's called "Love Itself." And our teacher used to call that place of deep inner quiet true love. I'll try to say could see that room. I knew that room. And there was a lot of dust up there on Mount Baldy. But I know that feeling too of love just coming in and then finding an open door and leaving. And in this one, you know, just the whole vibe of the song is so mellow and easy, and just that easy coming and going as love comes in and then finds an open door and heads out again. Yeah, I can tell this is going to be way too long. So I'm going to cut this next song. And it's by called The Window, which is, go listen to it. It's a fantastic song. I just love it. But the last line in that one, which sometimes comes to me during a retreat, is it's talking to a woman who's kind of, or a person who's kind of frozen in not sure what to do with love, and or not sure how to open up, I think. And he says, lay your rose on the fire give up to the sun give over to splendor, in the arms of the High Holy One, for the Holy One dreams of a letter, dreams of a letter's death. Oh, bless the continuous stutter of the word being made into flesh. I love that last line. That, again, talking about that stutter, that going back and forth between the that's what I think of as the continuous stutter of the word being made into flesh. I think now we're going to get to more, I think, in the next couple of songs, about Leonard's, well, about giving yourself up. That really is lay yourself on the fire. Giving yourself up is, of course, part of this practice. That's the way in which we find this love. In a way, it's kind of to sacrifice yourself, your concerns. And the very first song that I think that I heard was, or knew, was Suzanne, and it has this great part in the middle. Jesus was a sailor, and he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said, all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. It takes drowning. Only drowning men can see him. To really see Jesus, to understand this kind of spirituality, and in the end, Christ sinks beneath your wisdom like a stone. He finds the kind of wisdom that is at the bottom of the ocean that you have to drown to find. So I think Leonard meant by drowning losing yourself, but I also, this is not a triumphant Christ, but a broken one, he says. And I think that part of finding that deep wisdom is breaking. And Leonard talks a lot about that in his music, that theme of, that maybe more than any other, of recognizing our imperfections, our brokenness, our suffering, and transforming them into wisdom and compassion and love. So you remember that in the Ballad of the Absent Mare, you have that songbird singing out so suddenly from the highest branch, and that's when he sees the mare. That same bird, I think, is in this song, which you may know, and kind of represents or heralds the same thing, the peace and beauty contained in the present moment. And the possibility, no matter how, no matter what's happened, no matter how dark the night has been, the possibility of starting over.
The birds, they sing at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Away, or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again.
Our practice is that kind of starting again and starting again and starting again over and over again, giving up the past and the future, as he says in the beginning of the song. And I think it's that giving up is can be easy sometimes, and sometimes it's just difficult because the concerns of our lives are just too pressing. And part of this practice, really, I think, is not just easily giving up those things. Sometimes they just won't let you give them up. And we have to address them in some way. And I think involved in that is a practice of acceptance. Acceptance of our own, the messes in our lives. So that we have to learn to stop trying to clean them up and just sit in the middle of a dirty, broken mess. So doing zazen is like, he's got another line, like kneeling in the mud. And when things are going particularly badly, I think we have a particular chance to really open up to our whole, to a broader part of our life. And I do think, as this song says, that accepting the cracks in our lives, we let a kind of healing light in. That light, that same light that streams through the window in this previous song. And we can come to a new kind of settledness that's deeper and stronger. And that kind of acceptance really is a part of the Buddhist path. There's a very nice quote I like from Machik Labron, 11th century woman teacher. In other traditions, demons are expelled externally, but in my tradition, demons are accepted with compassion. And Leonard really struggles with his demons in his songs, right out front. But it's very clear that accepting them is part of his path. And I think when we do that, we get larger. that it can look like we get smaller in our practice, less expansive, but actually I think we get larger as we take in our demons, our broken parts. We encompass more of ourselves. And become larger, more centered, and more stable. Okay, I'm almost done. But I can't skip Hallelujah. I'm not going to play it because everybody knows it already. Oh, really? So I just play the first verse?
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I got places to go. Also, which version, you know, everybody has it. I'll take the Jeff Buckley version myself, but all right, here's.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you?
One more verse. This song starts with, you know, with a secret chord that he's heard about that pleased the Lord. It starts with a kind of search for that chord. That's the way I see it. And then it has these obscure references, these biblical references in that last verse of David seeing Bathsheba bathing on the roof and falling for her and making a mess of it, and or Samson losing his strength, you know, when he gets his hair cut. And so it's you know, you have that kind of disaster. He says, love is not a victory march. It's a cold and a broken hallelujah. It's through that we can find that kind of truth and kind of glory in a way. It's earned by the brokenness of life. Here's this line, this verse that you say, I took the name in vain. Well, I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you've heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah. You know, there's a blaze of light in every word, which is to say that holiness is everywhere in the, you know, in the sacred and in the profane, in the high and the low. And then this last one, this last line, you know, which I just love. I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Many times I've felt that, even though it all went wrong. And that's similar to there's a crack in everything. That's what the light, and you know, there's a kind of an That's the font, his ode to broken joy. It all went wrong, and it's all right. I like that song a lot, way before everybody else knew about it. I just want to put that on the record. And so I wanted it at my funeral from way back. And now I'm just hoping I live long enough that everybody forgets about the song. Okay, so now this last song, I'm going to quote from the middle of it, so I'll just give you the... It's called Heart With No Companion. It's a beautiful song, one of his less well-known ones. I greet you from the other side of sorrow and despair. With a love so vast and shattered, it will reach you everywhere. I sing this, he sings this song for those who have lost, for a captain without a ship, for a mother without a child, for one that's been through sorrow and despair and come through to the other side. And he says, I greet you from that other side with this love, because I've known, I've been there. And I think so many times Leonard points to another way than being a victim of your own sorrow and despair, points through to the other side, and or reaches back from that other side with a love so vast and shattered, with a particular kind of love, the love that knows something. Pema Chodron says, if you know your own sorrow and difficulty, you can approach somebody else as a, not as a helper, or them as a victim, but as an equal. And so he says, though the days of shame that are coming, through the nights of wild distress, though your promise count for nothing, you must keep it nonetheless. There is this Bodhisattva vow in Mahayana. The Bodhisattva is one who goes right to the edge of Nirvana and then turns around and reaches back to help everybody else through. Not passing through to perfect peace, but coming back to return to help. To return to ring the bells that will still ring. And I think the music of Leonard can help us to see things in a different light, to especially our failings and our defeats. And many of the songs that he sings, I think, present us with an ultimately hopeful vision. And this practice of Zen can help us too with that. Can help us by knowing our suffering and our ease to grow larger, to grow more open, and to encompass more of ourselves and more of the world, and to give us the strength and composure and self-knowledge that will really help us help others. This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.